trees. Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
We'll do it again. Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of our Jack Benny television presentations. I was just saying to the gang that I am surprised with how well these have caught on. They are probably three times as popular as anything else I play on my podcast. I get extra thousands and thousands of views of these things or listens to them. Which I always am interested in to how many listeners we have. And then I always say, oh, you know, you should probably go and watch this on YouTube to watch us. And the amount of people who go watch us, there's definitely a lot that go watch us, but far more just listen to it, which is just fine. You're just missing little bits of the Jack Benny show, all the visual sketch, all the visual pieces, but that's okay. And I was saying of all my shows in the last month or so, the top five are all of these Jack Benny TV show podcasts that we do. So I just am so thankful that Kathy joins me and Terry joins me and John joins us. And I think these have been wonderful to do and they do just a beautiful job. Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, if there's one episode that you want to see the visuals of, this one has a great visual gag in it. So I would encourage everybody to check this one out.
Yes. And I check them all out on YouTube. I always do a link to YouTube in the show notes. So if you go down, if you get on my podcast any which way and you look at the show notes, it'll have the link to YouTube and you can just go watch it in YouTube. Also, you'll miss my whole beard thing that I've got going on. I had to join John and Terry with their beards. I suppose we could have had Kathy join us with a beard too that's as real as mine. But anyway, well, on with the show. So today's episode, basically earlier this week on my regular podcast, I played the episode about the Maxwell getting stolen of the radio show. And I talk on there about how they did it as a television show. And today we're presenting the television show that was done that is a reflection of that radio show. Now, what the other reason I wanted to do this is because I know a little inside information about this episode. Ah. I know that director Ralph Levy, who won, I think, two Emmys for doing Jack's show. He did Burns and Allen as well. Just a wonderful director who just passed away 2001, and he was only 81 years old. So he was really young when he directed these Jack Benny shows. He was in his 30s. So he and Jack got into a big fight about this episode, and he threatened to quit Jack Benny's show. He said, I'm done if you don't do what I'm telling you to do. And so Jack goes, okay, we'll do what you want to do. What he wanted to do, he wanted to use professional, regular television actors, maybe, I assume, from that he knew or that were from his cadre of people that he liked to use. He didn't want to use who Jack wanted to use, which was Mel Blanc and Frank Nelson and Jack's normal group of folks. I think the thought was that he used them too many times and that maybe the audience couldn't accept him in all these different roles. I'm not sure what was going on there. But like I say, Jack gave in and decided not to use them for this particular episode anyway. That's a battle lead fight in the future, I suppose. But I thought, you know, what is the same about people that argue with Jack about his ideas and a clock that has both hands broken off? Well, I'll tell you, they're wrong all the time. So it's like, you can't, I mean, Jack is almost always right. In the historical arguments that you see people bring up with him, you think to yourself, they either go with Jack's idea, which is always usually better, or if Jack gives in and they go with the other person's idea, you can watch it and go, this would have been better. If this had Frank Nelson on it and this had Mel Blanc on it, you can't tell me that all four of us wouldn't enjoy it more. If they were in the police station and they were the folks he was talking to the police station, we would like this episode more. It's just accident.
If you just did the radio episode, I wonder, did Frank Nelson and Mel Blanc play those same parts on the radio version?
Yes. On the radio version, of course, they would do their pieces. Now, the the whole police thing, you know, there's a bunch of differences in the radio version and the television version, like there is in most of Jack's shows. But yeah, they were definitely in there in the radio version, and in my opinion, should have been in here on the TV version. But having said that, that's my bit of trivia for you folks that's out there and I can't, honestly, I've read all of Jack's books. I cannot remember which one it came from. My assumption is it came from the Jack Benny show written by Milt Josephsberg, because he's the one who talks more about the actual working of the television show than the other folks do. So that's where I assume it came from, but I don't know. I read it somewhere and it just stuck with me, because you don't often hear about big fights going on with Jack and someone threatened to quit his show. Yeah. So that's pretty intense if that truly happened the way that it's described. But John, I thought we'd go with you first. Any insights into the show or anything that you noticed that you want to talk about with more trivia stuff? Because you usually figure some things out. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a very funny show. And like I said, there's some visual gags in this, which, you know, a lot of times when they are redoing a show from the radio, they're just basically just doing it again. Right. But there's some unique things, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but like the set decoration is really a humorous thing in this episode. As far as like trivia or like things going on in history at the time, they mention the brand new song from Elvis Presley, which had just come out in September. This is November, Love Me Tender. And of course, Lawrence Welk, who I don't know what you think of when you think of Lawrence Welk, but I think of my grandma. She loves Lawrence Welk. So sort of that little cheesier kind of music as opposed to the hip Elvis from the time.
And Welk will be around for, when did he go off? Like 70, late 70s maybe? Well,
nobody knows because they kept doing reruns. So
yeah. There's new episodes today and they still wear those little pale tuxedos of the pastel colors and things. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. They mentioned leaded gasoline, which of course they later found out was not great for your health or the environment. They called it ethyl. It was a little more expensive, the premium to keep your car from like knocking.
Yes.
Duncan Hines is a sort of like cake box. Do they still have that?
Yes, it's a brand name, but he was an actual person who was kind of he was the Guy Fieri of his time, except that his name meant that whatever restaurant he reviewed was the best. So Duncan Hines was a real person, and
They mention Gowns by Adrian, who is an MGM costume designer. And also sort of an obscure thing, youngsters way back in the day would take foxtails and put them like on their antenna or in their, you know, radiator or rear view mirror, things like that. So I thought those were the interesting references from the episode.
Great. Thanks, John. And overall, you said you thought the episode was pretty funny.
Very funny. And like the commercial with the sportsman, another sort of visual gag. It was hilarious.
Yes. And that's what I've loved about the episodes we've been showing so far, not by choice or anything. They just happen to be like real fully intact episodes that have the sportsman. Because if you watch the syndicated episodes, the sportsman really gets short shrift because I assume because their commercials usually are the commercials. And so they're not advertising the show anymore. So they cut them out, but two, they also need to cut out, because these old shows, more space for more commercials now. And so an easy place to cut out that doesn't really affect the whole flow of the show too much is to cut out the sportsman pieces, which is really unfortunate.
I love this show, and I hadn't seen it in the longest time. And it's a really fascinating mix to me of the old and the new, the radio and the radio ear gags and Benny history and new stuff. I love that Don Wilson got more to do by chasing around the sportsman and bringing him things than he'd gotten to do in a long time.
Yes.
I love, which is the sportsman who did, who sang the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Which of the sportsmen, the guy, Thor? Is that his
Thurl?
Whatever. It was great to see him, you know, close up, because I, whenever I hear his deep voice, I think of the Dr. Seuss special. Another great bit was having the Giselle McKenzie commercial on before the show, because it reminds you how close she and Jack were. And I have an advertising history friend who had sent me some documents that I posted to the Jack Benny Fan Club Facebook page a number of years ago, and I got to dig them up, where Jack was really acting as a sugar daddy, trying to get her own show. And these advertising people, you know, the PR agencies on the side are going, yeah, Jack and his, you know, and his protege. but she's delightful, and it was, you know, I mean, I think she's a great character, and it was great to see her. I was really struck by at the beginning of the show, it's very much a live show, and Jack makes a mistake the business is stumbling on Lucky Strike. And that is that why he mentioned Prudential, that he thought that his sponsor would come and kill him for the for his life insurance money. I love the informality of it, the liveness, how they were able to that cut in where there's Jack on the stage and then Rochester talking at home, but there was a curtain on the side. That is like, was he actually just at the edge of the stage?
I was thinking the same thing.
It seemed so, I'm going to say primitive live TV. Yeah. And that made me sort of laugh.
Are you talking about when they were on the phone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that was like a picture in pictures sort of thing. Right. And I was like, I was struck by it this time, but also when I watched this one in the past, just that seemed so much more advanced than the time. I would not have thought they could even attempt that at the time.
Because back in October 1950, when Jack had a phone call with Dinah Shore, they literally put up a cardboard wall that had each of them sitting on other sides of the cardboard wall. So hooray, it's 56. But also, there were some marvelous visual gags, them taking the time to pull back, even though it's live, and just have Jack visually react.
Yes.
I love that they were, instead of in radio, it would have been pushed a little faster.
Yes.
And I love the fact that he was willing to stretch the timing of a few of those gags to get the visual reaction in.
So. Yeah, exactly.
That reminds me of one more important reference, which is the election. It was Eisenhower versus Stevenson, and Eisenhower was reelected
Spoiler alert, John, come on now.
No, this,
who would have possibly known that he
won? This episode is 2 weeks after the election, so everybody already know who won.
The joke about get out the vote was...
I just think it's so funny how we do spoiler alerts for things that are 75 years ago so often and things. Oh, I don't want to give this away. And it's a complete
spoiler. Well, given that nobody knows history, it is a spoiler.
Stevenson won. Oh, he was our president for 17 years. Did you know? Anyway, I guess we'll go over to Terry, because Terry hasn't said much today yet. So, Terry, what are your thoughts on the whole thing?
Well, I was very interested in the supporting cast, and I don't know who the actress was who played the receptionist in the police station, because they didn't credit her, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Kathy,
Laura's book says Pat Donahue.
Ah, Pat Donahue. Okay.
So, Troy Donahue's sister or mother, probably.
There you go. But she was the one kissing Bill goodbye at the airport or the train station.
Right. Well, the supporting character, the supporting actor who was most prominent was the guy who played the sergeant, Lyle Talbot, who had a long and storied career in Hollywood, both in film and television. He was known as a ladies' man. I think he was married 5 times. He was the father of several children, 2 of whom became rather prominent journalists. One is David Talbot, who's one of the founders of Salon.com. And the other is Stephen Talbot, who was first famous for playing Gilbert on Leave It to Beaver.
Yes.
And I think he was the kid who said, put your foot on the lady's thumb, Beaver. Remember when he was up in the billboard? And then became a documentary maker, a serious journalist.
That's fantastic. Laura's book says that's the only time Lyle Talbot appeared on the program. So how about that?
Wow.
Well, he was terrific, and he had obviously a huge part in this one. They took great advantage of him. And
wasn't the one of the actors in here that later played I Dream of Jeannie,
did tons of television. He did everything.
And he was the doctor on that show or something, if I remember right.
And I want to circle.
I always thought that Nelson's character was insane because he's the
genie thing. I want to circle back to something you said, Daryl. One of the beauties of the Jack Benny Show and his regular cast is that we got to laugh even before they opened their mouth.
Yes.
The references to running gags made us laugh, and it was part of Jack Benny's genius was that he prepared us, whether it was the car he drove or cheapness or any of the things that his character became famous for. We got to laugh week after week because we knew it was coming. And sometimes he made us laugh because he went a different way, but more often than not, we got the joke before everybody else did.
Exactly. And every time you were to see them, I mean, to visually see them, it was the same thing as when Jack would say, hey, mister, and then you know in your heart, you're like, oh, it's going to be Frank Nelson, right? And then to go, and if he was in charge, he was one of the police there or whatever, as soon as you saw him, it wouldn't even have to feature him. He could be just in the background or whatever, and you'd go, oh, we're going to get some Frank Nelson, or oh, there's Mel Blanc, we're going to get Mel Blanc. I mean, I think that's more important than the whole, oh, we want to use multiple actors and we don't want to have you immediately recognize. It's like, why not? Why not have them take all these roles? That's what they did in radio, and it was funny. It's funny in television. It's just a shame that they didn't do that. Now, not that he didn't, these were fine actors. They did a good job. They were great actors, but I just think it would have been just another notch higher in the Jack Benny scale of things if they would have used Frank Nelson and Mel Blanc.
Cool. Hey, can I take a second to plug something, to promote something?
No, not really. This is not a place for that.
Oh, I'm not surprised you said that.
It's like a podcast. John, what do you think you're doing? On here to my show and plug your...
I noticed you copying my image by wearing your fake beard today.
Yes, so yes, exactly.
That reminded me of a YouTube video that I have.
Oh!
Baby Mrs. Dad's beard, because it's about the time I shaved my beard off and my child did not recognize me. And it's lots of fun. Look it up. Baby Mrs. Dad's beard.
Okay. And do you have a bunch of videos on? I didn't even know you had a podcast. I mean, a YouTube channel. So do you have
I threw a couple up there in college and then I got too busy with kids. So not much, but
a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny on mine. There's tons of stuff now of me and like you guys and other Zoom things I'm doing and things. But historically, there was like 7 videos of my son from like when he was 11. Now he's 20 something. Uh-huh. And he's on there doing Minecraft and he's narrating what he's doing because that was the big thing at the time. Well, it's still a big thing now of people narrating whatever they're doing and getting millions of hits. He got like 11 hits. He didn't get millions of hits. Uh-huh. But I think it's funny because they're sitting there still. And then there's this gap of like, I don't know, like I say, 10 years or something. And then all of a sudden I'm doing all these videos. But his videos now, because my videos are on there, they're starting to get more hits. I think there's been 3 times as many people that have watched them in the past few months than they watched them ever when they were originally released. And I was like, should I delete these? And I'm like, no, I love to hear his little kid voice talking. And yeah. Oh, now I'm going to do this. And look, oh, there's...
Well, Daryl, I think you were right to chastise John for plugging, it's just not right to take advantage of you for plugging something else that no, like, for instance, if I were to bring up... If I were to bring up Imaginaire Theater, episode 2 is now available. It just wouldn't be right. It wouldn't.
I agree with you, Terry. to plug your show on Imagine Air Theater, imagine-air-theater.
.com. You know, .com's the deal breaker. If you say .com, it just works.
Yeah, and you happen to have your second episode out there now?
It just happens to be available.
Yeah. Right now, and we wouldn't even be mentioning it. Wouldn't even be mentioning it if John wasn't fiercely plugging his child and his beard, lack of beardness.
I know. I should stick to Jack Benny. If only I had some sort of book that I could learn more about Jack Benny.
Yes. Some book that probably Catherine Foley Seeley has. The multiple books on Jack Benny. Yes. Hold up anything you got. You got anything? No.
There's another room.
Okay. Well, I have them always right at my fingertips. Her books again. She has two. Can I say two? Books, two mints in one, but it's the two books in separate. Whatever. And
copies are coming to both you all, Terry and John. They're in the mail.
And so this is what's coming to you, Kathy.
Yay!
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
That's a great cover.
Let's plug away. Plug away.
Well,
and I gotta say, my book. The fact that I am actually mentioned in this one somewhere in the acknowledgments. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. So I don't believe John is mentioned in those acknowledgments. I don't think so. Just me. That's a sad thing. For her third book.
Listen, in the acknowledgments, I also put a typo in Laura Leibowitz's name. So,
did you really?
There's many reasons for a second printing where I can fix all this stuff.
By the way, John, what's happening this week in Jack Benny?
You can check out at thisdaybenny.com.
All right. Well, I am so glad that when you tune into this show, you simply get information about this week's Jack Benny without any superfluous information that we're sharing with you, other than these last number of minutes. I'll probably just cut off and...
No,
I will not do that. You folks generously donate
your time here. It's in my contract.
Yes. It's in your contract, which isn't worth what it's written on, but that's all right. So anyway, folks, enjoy the show. Anybody, any last comments on this episode? I love the dog pieces in here, and that's another piece.
Little dog, that's adorable.
Yes. And without, if you're listening to it, you're going to miss that. So I really suggest you watch it on YouTube so you get the whole experience. And golly, if you can't see my beard, and I was telling them earlier, my son came home and this is of course fake beard that I've got going on, but my son came home and he had the identical beard to what I have in my fake beard on Zoom. So I should grab him and bring him in here. He's in the other room sleeping.
It's I gotta figure that out. I want the halo.
That I had. Next week, maybe I'll turn on the halo, or if you folks can find it, if you download the newest version of Zoom, you have all these extra features that you can use. So it's kind of fun. Anyway, folks, we will see you next week. I think what we're doing for the next few weeks, because I can't remember, I think it was Terry that pointed it out, that Johnny Carson's birthday is coming up here. And I thought, let's do a few more focused Johnny Carson episodes. So there's the one he did on the Jack Benny show, but also the bit we had of him and the Rat Pack. That's, 3 minutes long or something? The entire 90-minute episode is available out there, the 90-minute show that they did together. Wow. And I think maybe we'll cover that, though you folks can fast forward through it if you want and things, because I don't know if you want to watch a whole 90 minutes. But I think if we did those two, and then we do Jack's very first episode that Kathy mentioned today, because it will be its anniversary coming up here on 70 years since it was originally released.
70 years? Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So anyway, folks, enjoy this episode of the Jack Benny Show, and we will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
From Television City in Hollywood, the Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Your music, Giselle. Well, right now, Happy Joe, I'm in a bouncy mood. Let's go.
Light up, my lucky, it's light up time. Be happy, go lucky, it's light up time.
Wow-wee!
Sometimes I like my music dreamy, like this.
For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike. Relax, it's light up time.
Yes, sir. Fine tobacco that's toasted to taste even better. That's what makes a Lucky taste so good. You'll say it's the best tasting cigarette you ever smoked.
For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike right now.
Light up a Lucky.
It's light up time.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Lucky Strike program. Well, here I am again. Of course, this might not mean much to you, but the Prudential Life Insurance Company is thrilled. Now, I only meant that as a joke because, fortunately, I'm in the best of health. You see, every year at this time, just before the holidays, I always go to my doctor for a checkup, you see, a physical examination. And last week, I went to my doctor in Beverly Hills, and he checked my reflexes and my metabolism and my blood pressure. And then he stopped, you see. So I said to him, Doctor, aren't you going to check my heart? And he said, right now, and handed me the bill. So I looked at it for quite a while, and since nothing happened, he checked my eyes. But, you know, I've always prided myself, ladies and gentlemen, on my physical condition, because when I was young, when I was a kid, I was quite an athlete. You know, very few people know this, but when I was about 22 years old, I was with the American Olympic team. Of course, they don't have that event anymore, you know. Wigwam pitching. I still hold the record. You see, I made it in 1/4 of an inch of the movement of the sun. Nowadays, they use clocks. And as a matter of fact, just recently, I was going to go to Melbourne, Australia to see the Olympics. You know, and but it's so tough to get hotel reservations down there, and I was willing to pay for it and everything, you know, but you just can't get them. Of course, for what I was willing to pay, I certainly didn't expect a penthouse or a suite or anything like that, but who wants to live in a kangaroo's pouch? Big deal, wall-to-wall fur. But to get on with the show, ladies and gentlemen, oh, I almost forgot. I have an announcement here that I was supposed to make. Oh, my goodness, there's an audience. I didn't know. I was supposed to make this announcement 2 weeks ago, and I forgot all about it. 2 weeks ago, and so I'll make it now. Don't forget to vote. This has nothing to do with the last national election, you see, but next week in Cucamonga, they're electing a guava queen. Oh, there's going to be so much excitement there. There'll be street dancing, you know, and grape crushing and orange roping. And all of those wonderful sports that they're going to have.
Oh, Mr. Benny?
And they,
Mr. Benny?
It'll really be...
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
You want it on the phone.
Well, look, I'm right in the middle of the show. Will you get the number and I'll call them back right away?
The other party, they said it was very important.
Oh, excuse me. Just a minute, will you please? right in the middle of the show. Hello?
Hello, boss. This is Rochester.
Rochester, you of all people should know enough not to call me in the middle of a show.
But, boss, I've got news for you.
Well, what is it?
Brace yourself.
All right, I'm braced. What is it?
Your car's been stolen.
My Maxwell? Stolen? I mean, when did this happen?
2 hours ago.
Well, why didn't you call me sooner?
I just stopped laughing.
But, Rochester, I'm in no mood for nonsense. Now, was my car stolen or not?
Yes, boss, it's gone.
How do you like that? Yesterday, I put in 5 gallons of gas.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, there's nothing to worry about, Rochester. I'll get a hold of the Beverly Hills police. You know, they're always on their toes.
They could be on their knees and catch that car.
Now, Rochester, never mind. Rochester, look, get on the phone immediately and call the Beverly Hills police station.
Well, I tried to, but I couldn't get them.
What are you talking? You couldn't get the Beverly Hills Police Department?
They've got an unlisted number.
Oh, yes, they're so classy. Well, it's a classy police department I've ever... Rochester, look, I'm going over there right away, and you get there as soon as you can, will you?
Okay.
Fine, okay.
Bye.
Oh, Don! Don Wilson! Don!
Yes, Jack, yeah? Jack, what was all the excitement on the telephone?
Look, my Maxwell has been stolen. I've got to go right over to the Beverly Hills police station.
You're leaving now, right in the middle of your show?
Well, I can't help it, Don. Now, you can take over. Bring out the sportsman quartet.
Oh, but Jack, the sportsmen aren't due until later in the program.
I can't help it, Don. This is an emergency.
But they're not ready yet.
I don't care whether they're ready or not. Well, now bring them on.
Don't yell at me. It's not my fault you put in 5 gallons of gas yesterday.
Your big fat idea that I use ethyl. Then I'll bring them out.
Okay. Sportsman, ready or not, you're on. Fellas, hurry up, you're on! For heaven's sake!
I'm putting on the top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tails. I'm doing up my shirt front, putting in the shirt studs, polishing my nails.
I'm stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class.
And I trust that you'll forgive my dust when I step on the gas.
For I'll be there, putting on the top hat, mussing up my white tie, dancing in my tail.
This coat isn't mine.
This tie just won't do. I'm feeling a drag.
Who has my left shoe?
There's a reason to match. A lucky strike is made of only the finest, lightest, and mild tobacco. You'll get real enjoyment from Lucky's. There's not a thing they lack. It's light up time. Time to light a Lucky. Time to puff a Lucky. Has anyone a match? Has anyone a match? Hasn't anyone a match? It's light up time!
direct you to the Beverly Hills Police Department.
Beverly Hills Police Department. That's right. Traffic fines may be paid on the fourth floor.
I believe you wish to see me, Sergeant Vandermeer.
That's correct, O'Hara. I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to have to break you down to patrolman.
Break me? But Sergeant, how can you do that? Just last night, I captured a bank robber right in the middle of Beverly Hills. I shot him twice.
That's it. Next time, use a silencer. You woke the whole neighborhood.
Sergeant.
That'll be all, O'Hara.
I guess this is the place, Beverly Hills Police Station. Through these portals pass the finest policemen in the world. Uniforms by Adrian. Oh, miss. Miss.
Yes?
I'd like to report a stolen car.
Do you have an appointment?
No, I just want to report a stolen car.
Have you been here before?
No, ma'am.
Well, who recommended us?
Duncan Hines. You'd think this was Pasadena. I just want to report a stolen...
Excuse me. Hello? Yes, we still have tickets for the policeman's ball. The program? Well, we open with the overture from Tannhäuser, and then there will be a performance of the Swan Lake Ballet. Yes. Yes, and then after intermission, the policeman's chorus in full dress will sing a cantata from the works of Mozart. Yes, you may write for the tickets.
Say, that's quite a classy program. You know, it'd be wonderful for an encore if a policeman sang, "Who Put the Tuxedo in Mrs. Murphy's Vichyssoise?"
We did that last year, a cappella, and it was beautiful.
Now, what about my stolen car?
Oh, yes, excuse me. Very well. You may speak with Sergeant Vandermeer now.
Oh, thank you. Sergeant Vandermeer?
Yes?
I'd like to report my car was stolen.
Do you live in Beverly Hills?
Yes, I do.
What kind of a Jaguar was it?
Well, it wasn't exactly a Jaguar, you see, it was...
Mercedes-Benz?
No, it,
Come, mister, what kind of a car is it?
Well, it's a Maxwell.
Maxwell?
Yeah.
From what country?
No, you see, it was made in this country. Of course, they don't make them anymore. You see, although the factory is still in existence, they make pencil sharpeners. Well, you see, there were a lot of crank handles left over. It was... it was easy to convert, you see.
Oh, I see. Now, from where was the car stolen?
Well...
Boss!
Oh, hello, Rochester.
Boss! Got here as soon as I could.
This is Rochester Van Jones. He discovered the theft. He's my butler.
Oh, the butler, eh?
Sit down, Mr. Van Jones. I'd like to talk to you. Now, recount in your own words just what happened during the entire day.
Well, don't worry, Rochester. I'm right behind you.
At 8 o'clock this morning, Mr. Benny called me from my room and told me he'd be gone all day. And he said while he's gone, he wanted me to clean the kitchen, scrub the floor, beat the rugs, wash the windows, polish the stove, wax the floors, and press his clothes.
You were told to do all this at 8 o'clock, eh? And where were you at 8:15?
Back in my room asleep.
Rochester. Quiet, please. Now then, Rochester, when did you discover that Mr. Benny's Maxwell was stolen?
I heard the motor as it went out the driveway.
Oh, I see. You were sleeping, but you just happened to wake up when you heard the motor, eh?
I didn't just happen to wake up. It threw me out of bed.
Now, see here.
Now, wait a minute. You're suspecting the wrong man.
Well, it's always the butler in the movies.
I know, but this isn't the movies. Now, look, I'm a taxpayer, and I want to get my stolen car.
Oh, I hated that Arthur Treacher.
Excuse me, Sergeant. The prisoner in cell 29 has escaped.
You mean that dangerous criminal we're holding for murder?
That's the man.
Well, he won't get very far. Get the hounds.
Yes, sir. The hounds.
The hounds?
Hello. Hello, Chief. Alert all units. Dangerous criminal has just escaped.
Those are the hounds?
They'll tear him apart.
Especially the last one.
We're getting to that, Mr. Benny. Now then, Mr. Benny, have you noticed any suspicious-looking characters loitering around your premises lately?
Well, there are always a lot of strangers around the house. Of course, I don't know who they are.
Oh, strangers, eh? Now we're getting somewhere. Smith. Send up all the tramps, bums, and suspicious characters from this morning's roundup. Maybe you'll recognize one of them.
Yes, I
Now then,
so.
Let me get ahead here with my report. Let me see here. Now, the car, a make of car, Maxwell.
That's right, a Maxwell.
Now, will you please give me a description?
Well, it has a black body and four blue fenders, and there are geraniums growing out of the spare tire.
Geraniums.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
At this time of year, yes. Now, I know that this is a ridiculous question, but is there any other identification?
Well, there's a foxtail that hangs casually from the radiator cap, and then, the top goes up and down.
Oh, a convertible.
No, the top just goes up and down.
You see, we have no windshield to fasten it to, and it's kind of uncomfortable wearing that chin strap.
I see. Well, now, Mr. Benny. Yes? Okay, send them in. Here comes the lineup. Now, Mr. Benny, can you identify anyone in this group?
All of them. That's my orchestra.
Your orchestra?
Yes. Oh, for heaven's sake. Come here.
Mr. Benny, what are you doing?
He belongs in the brass section.
All right,
Take him out. Take him out.
Right, right.
That's the first time they've all had the same beat. Tell me, Sergeant, will they be late for rehearsal?
About 30 days.
That's the best news I've had today.
Mr. Benny, we're wasting time. Now, if you'll step over here to our radio transmitter, we'll report the theft to our prowl cars.
Oh, good.
Calling car 21, calling car 21. Go to the corner of Doheny and Wilshire. There seems to be a disturbance. Johnson speaking, that is all.
Calling car 32, calling car 32. Proceed to the corner of Roxbury and Santa Monica Boulevard. Traffic congestion. This is Kerry, that is all.
Now, Mr. Benny, which one of our announcers would you prefer to broadcast the information about your missing car? Officer Johnson or Officer Kerry?
Well, what's the difference?
Officer Kerry has a higher rating with our prowl car. Between calls, he spins Elvis Presley records.
I don't care about that. I just want to get my car.
Now, Mr. Benny, don't worry. We'll not only locate your car, we'll apprehend the criminals. Yeah. You see, we'll take fingerprints off the steering wheel.
Oh.
Don't you think you ought to get them off the door handle?
Well, why?
We haven't got a steering wheel.
No steering wheel? Well, that's ridiculous. When you come to a corner, how do you make a turn?
We jump out and kick the front wheel.
Rochester.
When we get to Coffee Circle, we go crazy.
Please be quiet. Now, will you just give the order,
certainly,
will you?
Certainly, Mr. Benny. Here, Kerry, will you add this to your list?
Oh, yes, sir. Calling all cars. Calling all cars. Keep a lookout for three stolen vehicles. Chrysler, license number WL4769. DeSoto, DZ3327. Maxwell, PU8054. Now, for the boys in prowl car 7831 and all your friends on motorcycles, here is Love Me Tender.
Love me tender, love me sweet.
Going to play the lead in Swan Lake.
Oh, well, he ought to be very good.
Yeah. Car 28, calling in. Car 28, calling in.
Car 28, Sergeant.
This may be it, Mr. Benny.
Yeah,
I'll take it, Kerry. Okay, car 28, come in.
We found the Maxwell, license number PU8054.
That's it.
The car was found at 366 North Camden Drive.
Well, that's my home.
They brought it back.
Roger, hear that? They brought my car back. They brought it back.
This is the third time.
Quiet, please. Car 28, did you apprehend the criminals?
Only the one that was limping. The other one got away.
You say one of them was limping. Did you shoot him?
No, his toe was broken from kicking the front wheel.
They must have gone by way of Carthay Circle. Thank you very, very much.
That's all right. Well, Mr. Benny, here, will you please sign this release
I'll
here?
I'll be very, very happy.
There you are.
And now for the boys in patrol car 95, here is Lawrence Welk and his champagne music. And a one, and a two, and a three.
We'll be back in a minute, but first, a word to cigarette smokers.
Light up, Lucky, it's light up time. Be happy, go lucky, it's light up time. For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike. Relax, it's light up time.
Man, that's it. When you sink that last putt and pull out a pack of Luckies, and it has to be Luckies. Know why? Because LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Naturally good-tasting tobacco that's toasted. Yes, sir, it's toasted to taste even better. Cleaner, fresher, smoother. Have you tried a Lucky lately? You'll say it's the best-tasting cigarette you ever smoked.
For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike right now. Light up a Lucky. It's light up time.
Well, that's about as silly as we can get. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce, you know, last summer I went to Europe and I filmed four television shows. And 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to show the first film that we made in London, not only in the studio, but we took exterior shots in the Tower of London, Trafalgar Square. It'll be very, very interesting, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Of course, when I went, you know, I love Europe, you see. When I went over there, London, you know, everybody knows me there, too. You know, when I was so worried that they'd ask me about, you know, to sign autographs and everything, I went there sort of incognito. I had on a beard and dark glasses and my coat collar turned up, but what good did it do? One tip and they recognized me. But I do hope you enjoyed our play today. We've always had so much fun with the Beverly Hills and the Beverly Hills Police. But I do want to say that we all did it just in fun, you know, and I know the Beverly Hills Police didn't mind because they're very, very dear friends of mine, particularly Chief Anderson, and I know they took it in the spirit that it was meant, you know what I mean? So next Sunday, be sure and watch Ann Southern, and I'll be back 2 weeks from today.
Don't be too sure.
What?
The filter tip Tarryton. All the pleasure comes through in the filter tip Tarryton. Smokes milder, smokes smoother, draws easier. Yes, the taste is great in the filter tip Tarryton.
Jack Benny's next television show will be in 2 weeks. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This is Don Wilson saying good night.